still Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover with us, who has written a pamphlet called A Dating Tips for Divorced Men and How Men Have the Power and They Should Be Picky About Women.
Phil, we agree. We couldn't agree more with that. And I'll give you an example. I believe that men do have the power and that we should be more selective about the women we go out with, not the other way around, women thinking they have the power. I took a lady out last Friday night who ordered corn on the cob. Now, let me explain. We had a dinner of wine. We had a wine before dinner. I had ordered a bruschetta appetizer. We had calamari. And then I heard her say to the waiter for her entree, she wanted a couple of cobs of corn. Now, this is, on a first date with a man, mistake number one. It's not sexy. It's nothing that sounds the least bit feminine. The thing that's important to understand that when a woman is eating corn, she's not impressing you, and she wasn't certainly impressing me. And then she gets the corn, and she eats it and smiles at me while she's eating it. And you can well imagine I saw chewed corn stuck between her teeth and the moisture of the melted butter down one cheek and over the upper lip. I don't think I've ever been more insulted and sickened in my life, so this is an example of a woman who's out of my life.
All right. She ordered the wrong food, or?
No, she was not mindful of me. And I believe that as men, we've got to remember, we have the power. We should be selective of women. She had the audacity, the gall, to order corn on the cob, our very first date. She smiles, and you know the kind of smile. She enjoys being with me, but I'm looking at yellow chewed corn wedged between every crack. This is not what a woman does to impress a man. And you can just imagine and I don't want to be juvenile, but you can imagine what the bathroom is going to look like in a few hours. I couldn't deal with that, and that she is out of my life.
Let me ask you about yourself, Larry. I know you wrote this pamphlet. Where do you live?
I live in Culver City, California right now.
Are you married?
No, I'm divorced.
Are you living with anybody?
I'm helping my mother out right now.
Well, what is your job?
Well, my job, I'm a night manager at Olson Printing in Culver City.
Do you own a car?
Not at this time, no, but I am looking at a couple of cars.
Do you own property?
Well, Phyllis, you know, asking me 20 questions. This really isn't about me. This is about women and what I look for in them.
All right. I know, but I just wanted to see where you're coming from. I mean, so you don't own a car, you don't own a house.
I'm helping my mother out right now, and I can tell you something. Women find that particularly attractive when a man is helping his mother. Everyone knows that a man's mother is his best friend, and I think that that speaks for itself.
All right, Larry Grover's on with us. You're recently divorced. You're getting back into dating. You wrote a pamphlet about that for men to say that we have the power. We are sexy. We should be selective about women.
That is correct.
All right. Can you tell us what has been successful for you and what hasn't since you've been divorced and dating?
Well, in a lot of ways, I'm fortunate, Phil. I love my family. To give you a background, my wife made a decision to go another direction. And the direction, by the way, she went in was on top of my best friend.
I don't want to get into the painful aspects.
No, but I think it's important to understand what happened. But it opened me up to opportunities, the opportunities of dating. The great thing about today in America is I think you can afford to be selective in the women that you eventually let into your life. Selfishness is not anything that I value.
All right. Now, you told us that your mother is inviting over a lady that she met from your work and that you might enjoy this weekend, right?
All right. Well, I do know her. Her name is Terry. But here again, we got another problem. This last lady, Denise, with the corn shoved up between the cracks of her teeth, now we've got Terry. And the problem with her is she rides horses, which is not a bad pursuit for women, but she's always got the jeans, the cowboy boots on, and she drives one of these F-250s. Now, if you put all of that together, horses, jeans, cowboy boots, and truck, what this does is it sends an emasculating message to the man. Just because she rides horses and drives a truck doesn't mean she's got to lord it over me. And, okay, I get it. She emasculates me with this message, and that would be emasculating to any man. Terry came out to the house last week, as a matter of fact, and one of the most emasculating moves that any woman has done to me, she changed out the propane tanks on Mother's barbecue, and then my mother tells her, and I told her not to say anything that I'm afraid of her knowing this, my mother told her that I was afraid to change the propane, which I am, and is sensible in giving the flammable contents. Well, at that moment, you might as well have performed liquid castration on me. And this is what I'm talking about.
All right, all right. So this Terry emasculated you because she owns an F-250.
Well, you don't have to lord it over a man. So she's out of my life. And the fact that she changed out propane, and my mother, who emasculated me as well by saying that I'm afraid of propane, so two women emasculated me. So in the course of a week, I've had three women perform the equivalent of liquid castration on me, one of them eating corn and then giving me the big grin with hi, and it's shoved up into the teeth, the other one telling a girlfriend that I'm afraid of propane, and then the third one driving a truck and riding horses, all three of them basically turning me into a Forbidden City eunuch. And I am trying to let other men not make these mistakes.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Maybe you, as women, agree that men should realize that they have the power and that women should, you know, impress them. Is that your message?
That is my message. For years, as men, we've been, trying to impress women. It should be the other way around. Women should be impressing us.
Well, when I look at your life, and I'm not criticizing your life, you live at home with your mother.
That's nothing to be ashamed of.
All right, but you do live at home, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, you live at home with your mother. You don't have a car. You don't have your own home. You have a printing. How much do you make a year?
I don't think.
Well, just tell me how much you make a year.
I make $27,000 a year. And I'll tell you something, Phil. Women don't look at that. What women look at is the kind of man that you are. Let me tell you something about my life. I work at night as a manager in a print shop because I can spend days with my mother. My sexual habits are very pure. They're very clean. I would never, ever degrade a woman into asking her, for instance, to perform oral sex on me the way a certain president demanded that of a woman. In turn, I would never degrade a woman so much as to completely disrobe her during our intimate moments. I would be respectful enough to lay a towel down before we began. And after we finished, if there was any evidence of our intimacy, I would strip the bed and reapply a new plastic drop sheet immediately. Now this, I think, Phil, is what a woman wants. Good, clean, pure Christian sex done under the roof of a man's mother's home. A woman that could really go for that kind of lifestyle. And I will not give this fantasy over to just any woman, because there aren't many women who would measure up to it.
All right, his name is Larry Grover. He believes that what women want is a good, clean, pure Christian sex life. He lays down a towel before they begin, and he strips the bed immediately after and puts down a plastic drop sheet. Also, Larry doesn't like women who order corn on the cob.
Well, I think that's a little stupid. What I'm saying is, I think women should be mindful of the way they look when they eat. And when you suck corn on the cob up into your face and then you smile the big Cheshire Cat grin and you've got large cobs and kernels sticking out of your teeth.
I understand. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Linda. Linda, go ahead.
If you can't deal with a woman being who she is, and if you can't deal with a woman being able to express herself and doing the same things as a man does, then you're going to be sorry and alone for the rest of your life.
Well, but
and as far as you saying that living with your mom you think is sexy from other women, let me tell you, honey, I think that is just childish. If you can't grow up enough to move out on your own and pay your own bills instead of relying on mommy, well, let me tell you what, honey, this is a new day.
All right, let me ask
I think it's childish.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Larry.
Uh-huh.
This lady has just said that living with your mother is not sexy.
Well, I think she's got it wrong. I think that I don't know where Linda's from, and she's certainly entitled to her opinion, but many women that I talked to down through the months as I was compiling information for my book find it very erotic that a man cares for his mother. I will tell you, Linda, I found many women look for a man. The first thing they see is, how does he treat his mother? Because that's how he's going to treat me.
Well, I understand that, but if you're still living with your mom, what's going to be more important, your mom or your wife or your girlfriend? I'm not going to be chosen over his mom. Yeah, I understand. I can't come in between.
I think you have to take into consideration both equally. My mother has made up the spare bedroom beautifully for the woman who I eventually allow into my life. But let me ask you, Linda, wouldn't you trade off the fact that perhaps I have an unusual closeness to my mother? Wouldn't you trade that off for the fact that I can offer you a pure, clean, Christian sex life
No.
That is pure and clean and has your respectful, I would not degrade you in any way.
No, no. You said your mother has made up the guest room beautifully for any woman that you choose to take into your life. Now, that means
As my wife.
Okay.
So you'd be living at your mother's house?
Yes, until I get on my feet, yeah.
Oh, see, that's not a responsible man.
What's not responsible?
I disagree with you.
Well, ma'am, I'm the night print manager at Olson Printing in Culver City.
Uh-huh.
And I am in line for another raise. And again, I have to tell you, the life that we would live together would be a pure, clean, Christian life based upon the cleanliness that we were given by Jesus.
Okay, the Christian talk to hear.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, are you Christian, Linda? I mean,
I am. Have you read the Bible? The Bible says a man should cut off all ties between his parents and move away with the woman. And you're telling me you're going to move the woman into the parents' house? That's not good, Christian. You're disobeying God right there.
What do I do? My mother is, first of all, my mother can't take care of herself any longer. She is incontinent.
There's nursing homes and there's 24-hour care.
Yes, that is true, Linda. But let me ask you this. How beautiful is it for a family together when a man brings a woman into his life that she can share in cleaning his mother, giving her baths, and sharing in the care of the mother?
Wait, you're asking a man...
That is disgusting. You're going to give your mom a bath and she's...
No, ma'am, I'm not giving... I'm saying that my new wife would share in the care of my mother. I came home. The tragedy of old age, Linda, is that you can't take care of yourself. I had to buy my mother new shoes because she had become incontinent to the point where it had gone down her leg and filled the shoes up.
And I understand you wanting to take care of your mom and all that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you've got to realize that that's why there's nursing homes. That's why there's 24-hour care.
Yeah. But it's so important.
Me as a woman does not find you taking care of your mom any kind of that. It's not sexy.
You don't find that sexy, a man caring for his family to the bitter end. I would do the same for you and for any child that we had.
Okay.
For your wife
and for your child, that's one thing. But for you to say that you're a good Christian man, and I understand you want to take care of your mom, that's fine. But you want to move your wife into your parents' home when the Bible says that a man will cut ties with his family, not cut all ties, I mean, you'll still talk, but cut ties with his family and move away with his wife and shall grow in numbers and be fruitful.
That's true, but mother will never be abandoned so long as she can't keep herself clean, and my new wife, and hopefully Linda would be somebody like you, you're a Christian, will not be recoiled at the prospect of sponging my mother when it needs to be done of any fecal matter.
Oh, come on.
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't expect you to understand, sir. You're not a Christian.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get religion out of this, if we could, for just
one
moment.
I grew up with a grandmother who was very sick. My sister gave half of her life to take care of my grandmother in that same manner. And it just got to the point where
more beautiful than me and my new wife helping an Alzheimer's. My mother has Alzheimer's. We can boil her socks on the stove, and we can do the things that it takes to keep her.
So you're offering, as the new sexy world, your wife comes into a spare bedroom, and the first thing she does is boil your mother's socks because she crapped in them.
That's disgusting.
You know something, sir? I think you're very disrespectful. And you used a word which I would never use.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think the lady understands what I'm saying.
I say, Linda, again, as a Christian, I would offer a pure, septic, and clean sex life. That is, if you want to use an analogy, I would boil our sex life.
One thing, life is one thing, but taking care of your mom in a way that a nursing facility should take care of her is different.
All right, Linda, thanks for your call. 1-800-449...
You terminated that call?
Yes, sir. We've been on long enough. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Larry Grover has written a pamphlet, Dating Tips for Divorced Men, how men have too long allowed themselves to be picked over by women. It's time that men be picky about women. In other words, for too long, women have been picky about men. It should be the other way around. He offers a woman a good, clean sex life, He doesn't want any woman emasculating him, and he doesn't like women who are disgusting when they eat their food. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But you think you're a catch for...
I think I'm a catch for any Christian woman. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. With us is Larry Grover. He's written a book, Dating Tips for Divorced Men. Men have the power. They should be picky about women. Women shouldn't be picky about men. 1-800-449-8686. Camille, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Camille.
Yes, Camille, go ahead.
Hey, I was wanting to talk to this guy with the mama and the fewer sex habits. What is that about?
What it's about, Camille, is that, and can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Are you African-American?
Yes, I am, and I'm proud of it, baby.
All right, well, that's fine. I don't personally believe that you and I, you know, would make the best couple, but, and I don't know.
Go ahead.
All right, so what is your question?
I wanted to know...
Do you believe in interracial? Do you believe in the interracial?
Yeah, I do. If people are in love and if they are compatible, I don't see anything wrong with the races.
What, you don't?
I think that interracial... African-American women make me nervous because they have certain sexual demands that I think are aberrant.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's not go
there.
Her question.
I want to ask you a question, Larry. Yeah. Have you ever had any mental health treatment?
If you're intimating that I need a psychiatrist, I think because I indicate that I enjoy pure, clean, fresh sex,
mm-hmm.
With a Christian, sort of a Christian twist, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that I am a mentally diseased.
Well, I think that your obsession with cleanliness is concerning me.
My obsession,
with cleanliness concerns me, and your obsession with your activities with your wife and sex and your mama concerns me.
My mother is incontinent. I need a wife who can...
a wife who's going to come in and give her a sponge bath with
no,
you.
A woman who is
that
woman...
That concerns me,
no,
guys.
A wife who is woman enough to put on a pair of gloves and get right in and boil some underwear if she has to, or whatever.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're such a man, how come you won't go on and move out to mama's house, get your own house, and move your mama
mother.
In?
I'm protecting mother.
Why don't you go ahead and get your own place and then move your mother in your place and maybe hire a 24-hour nursing care center and have her care for that way.
Right now I'm getting my funds together for just that.
You're getting your funds together. So you don't have enough money.
It's not about money, Phil. Women really deep down don't care so much about money as they do care for a man. And I guess Camille is going to think that I am obsessed, but I think they do want a man who is not going to demand things such as oral sex. A man who is not going to strip them like a slave for sex.
I think you have an obsession. I think you are too fixated on that kind of stuff. That's why I think
you need
some professional help.
What am I fixated on? I think all women...
You're fixated on the fact that you don't ask for oral sex. You're going to put a plastic paper down when you have sex. You're going to boil the sheets. What is that about, guy? You need some help, man. It's called medication. You need some help.
Camille,
I would suggest that you find a good therapist and work out your Oedipus complex.
Well, I think you're wrong, and I'd like to ask you,
out your Oedipus complex, guy.
What is wrong with asking a woman to put in a dental dam before she, in other words...
Well, hopefully, if you're married to her, you won't have to do that. You're talking about being with a Christian man. You're going to pick a woman who you don't need to use a dental dam on.
Well, ma'am, I see nothing wrong with an old-fashioned Christian approach to sex where you use...
What does a dental dam have to do with Christianity?
Where you use...
What does boiling sheets have to do with Christianity?
Yeah, that's true.
What does cleaning up a hired outfit have to do with Christianity?
Right. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I got two questions asked. Larry Grover wrote the pamphlet, Dating Tips for Divorced Men. A, the first question, if you're there, Larry?
I'm right here, Phil.
The first question is, what do you call Christian sex? And the second question...
Well...
Hold on. The second question is... What makes you such a catch when you say that men have the power and men should be picky about women instead of the other way around? What makes you such a great catch?
Well, Christian, let me answer the first one. Christian sex is a pure, clean, very pure and clean and fresh sex that is devoted. And by the way, there's nothing different about Christian sex than Muslim sex. The Muslim people practice the same kind of sex. What we do, essentially... is we keep the woman covered except for her face and except, obviously, for certain pertinent areas. But she is completely covered, and we are not in any way disrespectful. At the moment of intimacy, the woman's face is covered so that she will not look at the man, so there is no personal affront or offense taken if the man is being a little aggressive. While that is happening, the man's wife can be in the room or not, as the case may be, because we do share in the Christian community.
Wait a second. She wears a sheet
with two holes cut in it. And plus, sheets are changed regularly. Plastic drop sheets are used. Antiseptics are used. Gasoline solvents are used following certain acts. We do not demand any kind of oral. I would not put any woman through the disgrace and the utter abject, foul disgrace of doing that. So that's what Christian said. What was your other question?
My other question is, what makes you, Larry Grover, a catch?
Well, what makes me a catch is that I am a respectful man. Again, I only ask of a woman clean, scrubbed sex. I look good in a good pair of slacks and a dress shirt. I think I can provide well once I get back on my feet. The little things I think are important. For instance, I do little things like light a match after I use the toilet. I put the toilet seat down. I brush my tongue as well as floss my teeth. I look good, I think, most of the time. I can barbecue like a madman. I'm diligent about... my back hair, at least twice a month, I have back hair taken care of. I've only got four fillers. So I think I'm a man of breeding. I'm a man of class. I'm a man of culture. And, again, I'm a man of cleanliness, and I'm a man of using proper gasoline solvents, a man of pure Christian sex.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jan, go ahead.
I just want to say, I think this is absolutely ridiculous that you would absolutely think that some woman would want to have your mother in the same household and have this kind of missionary type sex with you.
Well, Jan, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Well, then how could you possibly ask me these questions? I'm simply respecting you as a woman by keeping a sheet dropped over parts of your body and only opening a hole in the area that would be pertinent.
Okay, well, that is not respect. Okay,
you don't want me to sweat on you.
Should be gratifying to both individuals. That's not gratifying to me, you're trying to tell me that you would cover me with a sheet?
Well, you want me to crawl onto you like an animal and grunt and sweat? Of course not. I wouldn't do that to you. That's not respectful.
So what if that's what I wanted you to do?
That is not Christian because it's not pure and it's not fresh.
Pure and fresh.
Yes.
You're trying to tell me that you not only would have someone take on the responsibility of cleaning your mother and bathing her, and
because we're a family. And if I asked you, Jan, I have to go to my job, and my mother has become incontinent down her leg and onto the floor. I would hope that you would do as Jesus would do. You'd get on your knees with gloves and a sponge and clean it up. But I would repay you for that by having respect for you during the intimate act of sex. I wrap my entire body in plastic. I would not offend you by sweating on you.
Well, if you had so much respect for me, why wouldn't you pay for your mother to have home health care? This is like the year 2000. People actually have people come into their house to take care of people like this.
Well, of course, but the problem is that I'm just getting on my feet, so I can't afford a lot of that.
Well, if you look into Medicare and all that stuff, you know.
Well, that's fine, but the point is, why would we be arguing against taking care of a family member? There are some trade-offs. If you do that, then I'm respectful to you during sex with a sheet and plastic wrap.
But
then
I don't
you
want
also...
to be respectful to me during sex.
Well, are you a Christian or are you not?
You keep going back to that question. What is Christian sex?
I told you. The man
that's
will
your
not...
interpretation.
The man will not crawl on a woman and grunt and sweat like an animal. I asked you to tape your nipples down during dinner so that my mother is not offended. Do you think that Jesus would approve of me mounting you like a sow? No, he would not. Jesus,
Christian sex is two people gratifying each other.
Wait. I got to back up.
What?
What do you mean tape her nipples down so your mother doesn't have to see him at dinner?
That is an affront and an offense.
Okay, that's what they make bras for.
Are you asking me a question? That's what they make bras for? That sounds like a question. All
okay.
I'm saying is, Mr. Hendry, is that any woman who wants me is going to get herself quite a catch.
Well, obviously, that's why
also,
no one wants you, because you're obviously not married.
Well, one of the things that Christian sex demands is that you do it with an egg timer. And, again, I would...
What do you mean an egg timer?
You said an egg timer. You don't do that, Jan? All right,
I'm sorry?
You know, I'm having a hard time buying her. I don't think she's Christian at all.
All right, Jan, thank you very much. You don't use an egg timer during sex, though, do you?
No.
Bull crap. If you're a Christian, you do. If you're Muslim, you do.
I am Christian.
Well, if you're a Muslim, you do.
I'm not Christian.
Of course,
because
Muslims.
I don't have sex with it. You appreciate the fact that sex is
you have
your
sex
interpretation of sex?
Do you have sex with an egg timer, or don't you?
No.
Then you're not Christian.
I get my... ass pains.
You get ass pains? What?
All right, thank you. What do you mean Muslims?
Well, the difference between Christians and Muslims is that Muslims, it is legal to have sex with underage boys. But
wait a second!
I thought I'd just get that one in. You know, 9/11.
Yeah, that's great.
Remember, I floss and brush my tongue.
Okay. This cat's, he's out there, man. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Gloria. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The man is a nut. He is talking Christian. He is not
talking
the same
sex.
Christian that the Bible is talking, because if he was, he would know a lot better what was going on.
What about
he's talking Christian. He's talking Muslim.
Yes, Muslim.
Not the same thing, baby, and
no,
it's certainly not the same Christian I am.
No, Muslim sex and Christian sex are similar, though, in that it is done with an egg timer.
You know what?
The woman is
you and your egg timer need to get a life. You are an insecure, over-the-top idiot who makes $27,000 a year, and you want a woman to go to bed with you wrapped in plastic wrap? Give me a break.
Ma'am, I'm getting on my feet. But again, I am a pure and clean and respectful man.
You know what? Who wants you? Nobody wants that pure and that clean. You and your gasoline solvents? Give me a break.
Ma'am.
Gasoline solvents? You know what? You're calling it Christian. And I don't know what kind of Christian religion you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking
but you're
about
not talking
basic...
about... No. Wait a minute, baby. Wait a minute. You're not talking about belief in Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of his blood that was shed on the cross.
It's amazing.
And you
to
know,
me.
You're so far out in left field that you have no idea what good sex is, and nobody's going to marry you because you're crazy.
May I say something now, Mr. Hendry?
No.
Go ahead. No, I'm going to let him say something, Gloria. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Christians should have sex as if Jesus himself were holding the video camera.
And you know what? That's what my husband and I do about three times a week. And we're 50 years old. And we have
as if Jesus were holding the
camera? Naked, sweaty, good time as if Jesus were in the room. Because the way I look at it and the way my Bible says it, anything that a married man and woman do together in the sanctity of their marriage bed is okay with Jesus.
If you look at Mark 3, verse 6 through 10, thou shalt not see the face of the attendant. What that means is, the woman's face
that
is covered with a sheet, that you're covered with
intended,
a sheet, and
that
only
means
a hole.
The engaged woman, not the married woman, fruitcake.
Right. No. How do you know? Oh, all of a sudden you're also a preacher, too. Boy, you just got it all going on, don't you?
But you are?
Yes, I am.
Oh, and now he's a preacher. Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Luke 5, verse 2 and 3, thou shalt not be on thy hands and knees in the presence of Jesus. Now, that means, not a supplication, that means the rear entry of the...
Oh, come on! There's nothing in the Bible about that.
Give me a break!
Right. Give you a break? You're the one who said she wouldn't mind grunting and sweating if Jesus was working the lights, holding the camera, and flopping.
Not with my husband, honey, because in the Bible it says,
right,
in the marriage bed, anything goes.
We're out, man. We're out. We're out. Okay, thank you very much, Gloria.
You're gutless, Mr. Henry. You're hanging up on a pure, freshly clean, scrubbed-up man like me. Gloria? Yeah, she's gone. Huh?
Yeah, she's gone, yeah. So are you. With your gasoline solvents? Wow. 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Dating Tips for Divorced Men, available at someplace. Eddie's Book, something like that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, I did the voice there of, who the hell was the character we just did? Larry Grover. I was doing that voice. That's what I do in a show. I do the voice. People call in, think it's a real guy. Just ask Fabio. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, from yesterday's show, Margaret was on, and she was talking about the fact that she had a little birthday party for her 14-year-old son, Jason J. Delmonico, and so they all sat around with little dollar bills, and she hired a little 14-year-old dancer, and they put the dollar bills in her leotard, and this was to show women how they could be empowered and how they could raise money for themselves. Also, Margaret pretended she was a guy and had the girl give her a lap dance. It was all sick. It was all twisted. It was all on yesterday's show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
How dare her, or this lady here, assume that she has the right...
Wait a second. I invited her to a birthday party and she showed up.
My point is,
okay, and
how,
she does
how dare her
boys,
have to
and
assume,
she didn't take her clothes off.
How soon to teach my kids, any of my kids or any kid, some rite of passage? I mean, that's not fair. I mean, that's taking my parental rights
well,
away.
Well, I'm listening to you right now, Sam, and it sounds like somebody needs
finish,
to sort of do
me,
that for
let
you.
Let me finish, okay? Let me finish.
Go ahead, Sam.
She has no right to do that unless she comes to me as a parent and say, hey, can we do this?
But if I come to you as a parent and I don't have a lot of confidence in you...
Then what the heck do you have even do it? What do you think? I'm a bad parent?
Well,
You can't teach my kids better.
May I answer?
Go ahead.
I may get one look at you and say, you know what, I think I better make the decision here.
Who died and left you, boss? Golly, woman!
Well, wait a second, Sam. I mean, with all due respect, are you sure you're capable of deciding whether you're a good parent or not?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right, what if I disagree with that?
That's fine, that's your prerogative, but don't try to push your rights on me and my kids.
But if I have the well-being of your children at heart and I take one good long look at you and I get some bad vibes, I may have to...
Okay, then you know? What happens if I take a real long look at you and say, man, this lady needs to be in the mental ward, I'm going to go to the courts and take her kids away.
How are you going to do... Oh, you go to the courts and take my kids away.
Well, what's good for you is good for me.
The only lawyers they got
how
the yellow pages...
You,
and
how dare
riding.
You tell America or anybody that, look, just because 20 parents plus a girl's parents, 21 parents, you guys aren't fit... So I'm going to teach your kids what needs to be taught. I mean, what you're saying is you're right and 21 parents are wrong.
Can I ask you a question? This may seem ridiculous to you, but one way I judge a good parent is off of the number of his teeth. And you may think that's funny, but if you can't afford to take care of your own teeth, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, well, that's good because my son's got had braces. He's got perfect teeth. My youngest son now is full of braces.
No, you.
And I've never had to have braces. I got great teeth.
You never could afford braces.
No, I got good teeth. I don't need braces. So you want me? You're crazy. And
no,
The thing about it is everybody who's calling is coming against you and telling you you're wrong, and yet you're not.
Well, you sound to me like you've got more relatives than teeth. And
all right, now you're dipping into the material, the joke material. Let's stick to the point.
Yeah, the point is I would ask this lady.
Yes.
I would ask Miss Margaret here to sit back and think. Well, maybe I'm wrong here. Yeah, and playing that song.
That song is a strip bar song.
Let me ask
a question. How would you guys know?
How would we know?
Yeah, I'm really curious. How would you know that strip bar? Oh, see, so Sam has sat his tired country ass down in a couple of these joints, but he doesn't want his son to have the same right.
No, he doesn't. Neither do I.
14 years old, and especially
and my daughter,
done by another parent. I'm teaching my son. You may tell you how I teach my son.
Do your kids
women?
Have a bedroom or a tent?
Okay.
The way I teach my son to respect women is I open the doors for my wife. I give my wife a big hug in front of my kids. I tell my wife I love her in front of my kids.
I tell my kids, ma'am,
and to respect women, you know, and
yes.
to respect women, open the doors for them and say thank you and all that fun
and
stuff.
Stick
you,
a dollar bill in their leotard. What is wrong with that when it shows...
Because I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with that. Men who go to strip bars or in a simulated act like that, what you're doing is you are looking at the woman as a sexual object. If I go to it, like the earlier lady, if
Come
I go
on,
to
Sam,
the
be
spot,
honest with me. Haven't you written a phone number down from the from a toilet before? Haven't you seen a number on
no.
a toilet stall and written
what,
it down?
If
oh,
I go
come
to
on.
The dance and I see a woman doing the
Have you
the
been
dance,
to the dance?
You say it. That's awesome. That is really cool. And that's what you should have done. If you wanted to teach them something, have her do something that was neat.
Have you been to the ballet? Do you know ballet? Do you know the dance?
Hungry Show.
Comedy gold.
That was sweet. Why is that funny that the music just gets potted up there just briefly? So that was Margaret from yesterday talking about how that cat had, you know, no right to be a... It was a whole thing about a girl being a stripper. All right, 1-800-449-8686. But I dug that. You got more relatives than teeth. Anyway, I think it's funny. I think it shows as funny as anything out there. You want my honest opinion? When are we getting our Billboard Personality of the Year award? When do we get our Marconi? When do we get our Nobel Peace Prize? Huh? When do we get our Academy Award? Our Oscar? When do I get my MTV Video Music Award? When can I stand up there and look surly? When? Oh, when? I'll tell you when I learn how to do this. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, what I told you was that my wife became incontinent on a trip to Portland, Oregon. And we were there, we were going to visit our daughter. She ruined two brand new seat covers. And what I was telling you, Phil, is she'd always been able to control her bladder through all the way through at least to Cloverdale in Northern California. And never once, and I want to say this to every single man listening who has a wife constantly bothering him about pulling over so she can use the toilet. My wife never once asked me to stop, and I was proud of her for that. We made good time. We got better gas mileage by not stopping all of these times. And this time, she asked me to pull over, and I was absolutely stunned.
You're saying that when you guys travel to Portland to visit your daughter, you can go 400-some miles, I mean, between L.A. and Cloverdale, California is what?
That's 441 miles. That's a 7 to 8 hour trip in our what we have is Winnebago. And
8 hours, your wife is not going to the bathroom.
No, well, because she won't go to the bathroom because we make better time. We don't stop and fool around at a gas station. We don't stop and fool around. We get right, we blow right through it. I've got fuel tanks on the side of the RV. Now, what has happened since 9/11 is that I think we've all become a little too touchy-feely. And as a consequence of this, my wife, who I've always been proud of, felt like she could ask me to stop at a toilet. And, mister, I've been married 40-some years, and I never had my wife say, "Will you pull over? I need to use the toilet." I was always very proud of her.
Why are you emotional about this?
Because I feel like I've lost a good friend. She's now very, with this post 9/11, everybody thinks they can say, "Well, I need, and I need to use the toilet." And as a result, she couldn't hold it. And I've got the price right here, Phil, on the car, on the seat covers. These are $125 bucket seat covers. These are the Regal seat covers. They come in blue. You could get the burgundy, but I got the blue. And these are made from a very strong cloth material. It's about 3-inch foam backing. And
all right. The reason your wife, which is an extremely embarrassing thing, an extremely horrible thing for anybody to go through, you wouldn't stop to let her use the toilet.
You know, you're going to make this about me, and that's not going to work. And I told the doctor the same thing.
What doctor?
This marriage counselor that they recommended we go see. And I told him, don't you dare make this about me. I'm a Korean War veteran, and don't mad dog me. And you never mad dog a junkyard dog, let me tell you that. Don't eyeball me. And this guy eyeballed me through the whole session. And I can tell you right now, I said, don't make it about me.
You went to a marriage counselor who said that you were what?
He said that it was my fault that my wife wet her pants in the car because I wouldn't stop. And I told this guy, she has always held it through to Cloverdale. Now, we can leave Los Angeles about 7 o'clock in the morning. She'll hold it through to Cloverdale around 5 o'clock. And we've been making this trip to Portland for 17 years. And I want to underline that, 17 years, and not once did she use to ask to use the facilities until this 9/11 deal come along. Now everything's in a touchy-feely. And this marriage counselor who eyeballed me all through this session...
Well, marriage counselors are going to do that, okay? They're going to stare at you because they want to know how you're feeling and how you're taking things.
Well, I told him, you never eyeball a junkyard dog and you never eyeball a Korean War veteran.
Sir, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Your wife was in distress. She needed to use the toilet. She had to wet herself, and she ruined your bucket seat covers. And I think that's for someone that you love to put them through that.
It's because I love her that I wanted her to hold it and not be like every other woman. Because my wife, Gladys, who I love very much, has always been stronger than all the rest of these women that ask their husbands to pull over so they can squat over a toilet and waste nothing but time, burn up gas efficiency. You ought to get into Cloverdale at 5 o'clock, and this is going to burn up time. I was always proud of Gladys that she never had to use the toilet until Cloverdale.
Which, is that like a halfway point?
That's the point that we get out and we use the toilet and we get something to eat on our way to Portland. When you go on, let me tell you something. When you go on a road trip, you stay on the GD road.
1-800-449-8686. Hold the line there, Lloyd, for just a moment. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is a retired gentleman. He and his wife take a trip to Portland. Couple three times a year, sir? Couple three times a year to go to Portland?
Couple three times. We're supposed to go Thanksgiving, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Why? Because she wet the...
Well, I can't have her in the car. No, sir.
All right. Well, they go to Portland, Oregon to visit their daughter a couple three times a year. And apparently she asked to use the toilet. He wouldn't let her use the toilet. And as a result, she had to use, she went in the car and you seem more concerned with your seat covers.
No, I'm concerned with my wife, who never, ever before that. Let me explain. Most women couldn't hold a thimble full of water, let alone hold it for 8 hours. But my wife was always able to hold it. And I never heard about all these. I've always heard about these whiny women who ask their husbands to pull over, and I never thought in a million years that my Gladys would turn into one of them. But this 9/11 deal now, everybody.
You keep bringing up 9/11, too, which I find interesting. What about 9/11?
Well, I think what it did is it made everybody soft. Now everybody wants to use the toilet and on the road.
Using the toilet's a normal thing.
Not when we take a road trip. I don't let my wife out of the car to pee until we get to Cloverdale.
You never let your wife out of the road. Can you imagine the distress this poor woman was in?
Oh, don't give me the distress. Gladys and I have been married 47 years, and she has always been a trooper. So don't give me this pussy stuff about...
And I would appreciate not using that word.
Well, you're talking... Don't eyeball a junkyard dog, and you don't eyeball a Korean War veteran. Now, I can tell you...
Your wife, let's talk for a moment about the love that you have for a woman, that you would put her through such distress...
A woman can hold it just as long as a man.
Listen to me, that you would put her through such distress that this poor woman had to urinate in the car. My God, that's like something that African Americans had to go through in the deep South in the 50s and 60s, and probably still today in some areas, that they're not even allowed to use a toilet.
Mister, don't you ever compare my wife to somebody who's enslaved, all right?
Well, it sounds like it to me, sir.
You don't understand. We are retired people. We are on a fixed income. We cannot afford all the gas in the world, and we can't afford to stop off and use all these toilets. We have to get the maximum fuel economy. You've never been an old man. You're not on a fixed income.
So you're saying that you can't stop because it minimizes your fuel economy?
Yeah, stopping and starting, it minimizes the fuel economy. That's why I was always proud of Gladys. And I would look over at her and I'd say, we're on our way to Geyserville, or to Cloverdale, rather, and I know you don't have to urinate like most weak, weak women. But 9/11's changed everything now, and now she has to take a leak all the time. And I can tell you...
This is...
I can tell you, sir, I'm a Korean War veteran, and I had to put up with a lot worse.
Well, you might have put up with a lot worse. I appreciate your commitment to our country, but I don't think that has anything to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is the fact that a woman...
Yeah, it has everything to do with it, because if I could put up with some gook, some filthy communist gook, who one day, up near the wire at Chosun Reservoir, stuck a bayonet in my face, then my wife doesn't have to go to the bathroom.
All right, I didn't know the extent of the problem, okay? Hold on for a minute. This is a story that of a man who feels so sad that his wife can't hold it when she has to go to the bathroom that she peed all over the... She asked to stop and he wouldn't stop. She's never asked before. And apparently he wouldn't stop and she peed all over his seat covers. And he says that that's because of 9/11 she's gotten soft. I don't know. It scares me, man, to think about some husband treating his wife that way. But he says that most women can't hold it. His wife, he was very, very proud of because she could. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think the man has a right to ask his wife to hold it all the way to the city? Does he have to pull over for her? When your wife asks you, pull over, I need to use the toilet, do you have to? Or do you have the right to ask her, hold it until we get to where we're going? And ladies, this question's for you, too. Do you bother your husbands about needing to use the toilet, or can you hold it? This man wouldn't pull over for his wife. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And so she couldn't have used the bathroom in the trailer, you're saying?
No, sir, because it's a trailer.
Oh, all right. I thought you had an RV.
No, sir. I've got a Jayco. It's a travel trailer.
Well, and you don't want to pull over.
If I pull over, then I might as well go to a... What kind of... See, this is the thing. When I talk to a lot of these stupid talk show hosts, and I'm not saying you're one of them, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you.
But they don't understand. What I don't want to do is I don't want to ruin the gas mileage.
What kind of truck do you haul it with?
I got a Ford F-350 dually. I got the double V's on the back.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane. We're going to take some calls from some people.
All right.
Jane, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to say to him that this is a physical abuse.
Oh, baloney.
Yes, it is.
No, ma'am.
Because I happen to know, and it is physical abuse. If you make her hold her water that long when she is older, it will cause her to have bladder problems.
I always called Gladys my little camel because she could hold it. And once she held it all the way to Grants Pass because I switched tanks and told her I didn't need to stop for gas. My daughter was waiting dinner.
Well, sir, I believe something happened to you in the Korean War. Because this is not
you
right.
You never eyeball a junkyard dog.
I don't care if you eyeball a junkyard dog or what. This is not right. You are physically abusing your wife.
All right. Then let me ask you something. Who pays for the seat covers? That's my only question.
Well, does your seat covers mean more to you than your wife's health?
Of course they don't, but they were $125 to cover the bucket seats.
Well, do you want to put your wife in the hospital when she's an old lady who can't control her water?
Well, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do.
Because I heard a doctor say that the more you
hold it
in there...
Well, I don't know what doctor you go to,
well,
but...
Well, the guy said you've strengthened the muscle.
Oh,
and
no.
I'll tell you what happened in the war. I got the finest... You want to know what happened
in the
war?
Well, my brother was in the Korean War, sir.
I got some of the
and
finest
he doesn't act like that.
Tag. What?
My brother was in the Korean War.
All right, hold on for a minute. Lloyd, this is a lady. I'd like you to act like a gentleman.
What?
Talking about getting some of the finest you-know-what.
She asked me what I did in the Korean War.
No, I did not. You said
what happened to me in the Korean War. I got some of the best poontang.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I think something's wrong with your brain.
You know something, Jane? Just because you can't hold it the way my wife can, you think everybody's got to just urinate all over seat covers.
No, you're going to cause her to have a medical problem.
No, because you strengthen the muscle the more you hold.
You're
it
more
in.
Concerned about your gas mileage
right.
and your car seat than you are about your wife.
And the safety.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jane.
Okay.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And do you and your husband do a lot of the traveling?
Yes, we have an RV also. We have an RV also.
How long can you hold it?
Well, when I have to go, I go. He don't
say a word.
See, that's
exactly what I'm talking about.
When I have to go, he doesn't open his mouth about it.
See,
because he respects me.
You girls can't
hold it. You have no respect for your wife.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Hendry. A lot of these sickos up in North Beach, San Francisco, they like to pee on each other. And this is what I think it's sick and twisted. And
what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
Sir, how was you raised? You certainly don't have any manners.
Well, ma'am, I don't... Ma'am, I...
You have no respect for no woman.
Ma'am, I have ultimate respect for women. I fought in Korea to keep our country safe.
Well, and I appreciate that.
The inside
my brother,
of my truck urine-free.
My brother also fought in the Korean War, but he doesn't act like that with his wife.
Jane, let me tell you, I love my wife deeply, and one of the things that I admire and respect about her is she can hold that water all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon, from Los Angeles. Now, that's a trip of about 600 miles.
Well, it sounds to me like she's scared to death of you.
Yeah,
you probably treat her like you did, like you fought in the war.
Well, if you know so much about this, can you recommend a good brand of diaper? Because obviously...
There you go with the insults again, too.
Well, I'd thank her to keep her nose to herself.
Well, I think you need to put a diaper over your mouth.
I'll bet you dots for dollars you don't ask your husband to pull over because a man hates to pull over.
No, they don't. My husband will pull over for me anytime.
And he doesn't.
But we have a walk-through RV, and I can walk through it and use the bathroom. What kind of RV do you have?
I've got a travel trailer, 2002 Jayco.
Well, I have a Jayco too.
We hitch it up to the back of my Ford F-350.
Well,
now I got the dual beats on the back,
Oh, isn't that nice? Okay, I got all the information. Listen, Jane, thank you. You made some very good points.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Gloria. Gloria, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree with Jane completely. This man has got a problem.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
I'm 69 years of age.
Your mental abuse to your wife.
I'm not mentally abusing my wife. I'm
what do you call it if you won't stop and let her go to the bathroom when she needs to?
Let me ask you a question. Why'd she pee all over my seats?
Because you wouldn't stop and let her go, you idiot.
She was always able to hold it to Grants Pass or Geyserville.
Hey, as you get older, you don't have that ability much longer.
You know something, Gloria?
And you've been married 47 years, so your wife couldn't be too young.
First of all, you never eyeball a junkyard dog. I'm a Korean War veteran.
I don't care who you are.
I could drink
You have got no right treating your wife like that.
I
you
could drink six
her.
Pitchers of beer and hold it all the way to Grants Pass.
Well, that's
and,
not
oh,
your
come
wife,
on, man.
Is
that's,
it?
That's not comfortable. That's not
You're
your wife.
You're talking about right. you, not your wife.
Simmer down, Gloria. You got to pop something.
I'm sure I will if I keep talking to you.
Well, let me
you
see.
Couldn't
the reason why
your wife.
My wife could hold it all the way to Grants Pass. One time she held it all the way to Dallas, Texas, and she didn't peep.
That's...
She's held it for 17 years. What the hell changed? I'll tell you what changed. 9/11 and all these whiny
Oh, 9/11, you got that
changed.
In your craw. It has nothing to do with it.
I'm telling you, as sure as God made green apples, 9/11 made my wife pee all over those seats.
No.
What in the hell are you talking about?
You couldn't love your wife, you couldn't respect your wife, or you would have stopped.
Gloria, I gave my wife a beautiful daughter, and we raised that daughter in Alhambra,
What's
California.
What's that got to do with your wife peeing all over your seat?
That's right. That's what I'd like to know. I did everything.
Her bladder is getting old.
Yes, her bladder's getting old.
Right.
If you do muscular exercises, it tightens up.
Oh, no. Not when you get older and you haven't the ability, really, to tighten
all
it
right,
up.
Let's
I know.
Talk about it. Let's talk about it. Where let's talk about it. Where have you lost your water? Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me.
You, when have I lost my water?
Yes, ma'am. Out in the shopping mall?
You have
Very
no right to ask her
to
that.
It if I'm not close to a restroom when I have to go.
Do you use the diaper or any other kind of...
No, I don't.
I see.
But when I have to go,
All
I'm
right.
72
that,
years
you don't
old.
Have to answer
when
that.
I have
that's,
to go,
that's fine,
I go. Mary.
You don't have to answer that question.
Come on, I'm interested.
Never mind. Thank you very much, Gloria. 1-800-449-8686. This guy, Lloyd, wouldn't let his wife out of the car to go to the bathroom, and she wound up ruining his car seats. That seems to be what he's worried about. He said before 9/11, she could hold it all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry with the Korean vet Lloyd Bonafide. Go ahead, Lloyd.
Phil, I want to tell you, every year my wife and I go for Thanksgiving to my daughter's, and we drive up there, but she's not driving with me. She could go urinate in someone else's car.
But if you let her get out of the car and go to the bathroom,
I don't want
to. You're so onto this. I don't want to lose any time between L.A. and Cloverdale, and I got to make Grants Pass. You guys that have these little timetables.
What? You gonna say that we make you sick?
Yeah, you make me sick.
Now you listen to me, and you listen good. I told you already. You don't eyeball a junkyard dog.
Well, I'm not eyeballing yet.
You listen to me. I got that timetable and those schedules because I went through hell. Living, breathing, vibrating, pulsing, and throbbing hell. And I finally clawed my way out of the poverty and the war and made my home in California. And I work on a timetable because that's how you keep a home moving. And I raised a daughter, and I've got a granddaughter, by the way, who's got the same problem holding her water. And she pees in my car, and I'll kick the living hell out of her. I'll throw her out of the car.
And of course you're kidding.
I'm kidding, yes, but that's how I feel.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Sonia. You're on with Lloyd Bonafide on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Well, this is the first time I've ever called the talk show, but I was listening and just could not wait to tell
I can't hear the lady.
Okay.
Speak up, Sonia.
Can you hear me now?
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Can you hear me now?
I can't hear her.
Speak up a little louder.
Well, this man is an absolute idiot.
What?
This man is an absolute idiot.
All right, what? Okay, is that it?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. But I'll be GD damned that I'm going to lose time on the fifth on the I-5 because my wife's whining about needing to go take a squirt.
You are the most disrespectful man I have ever heard to gauge a woman's worthiness by how long she can wait to go to the bathroom.
I call my wife the sprinkler now.
Well, I will tell you one thing.
Let me ask you. Let's get down to the nut cutting. How long could you hold it?
I don't think that is even material to my worth as a woman.
You ride with me, it is.
Well, I'm sure glad I don't ride with you. You are an absolute idiot, and on your wife's anniversary, we all need to send her a sympathy card.
You know what? You've called me an idiot, but you haven't said why. Not once have you said why.
Well, because you measure your wife's worth by how long she can wait to go to the bathroom, and that is the most ridiculous thing
I've... You ask any man, it's important to a man to know that his wife is in Niagara Falls. What do they call you?
I have a husband and sons and son-in-laws, and none of them measure their female's worth by how long they can wait to go to the bathroom.
You probably have a bladder the size of a green pea, and I couldn't be...
I probably do, but they don't love me for that.
I couldn't
be married. You're an absolute idiot.
I couldn't be married to a woman like you. I'll have you know that.
Well, you're exactly right. You couldn't be married to a woman like me.
Oh, go change your diaper.
Now you're getting really insulting.
I intend to be.
No, you're fine, but he did.
Well, she was.
No, you were.
What did I say?
Go change the diaper.
He needs one.
I think that you probably have a bladder the size of a grain of sand.
And he's getting worse by the minute, isn't he?
You know that your husband probably doesn't really love you. He just says he does. But he's looking for a woman with a good-sized bladder. I can tell you this, Sonia, because I'm a Korean War veteran, and you never eyeball a junkyard dog. I don't look at a woman's chest. I don't look at the size of her rear end. I want to know how big that bladder is.
Yeah, okay.
I repeat my statement.
Yeah.
This man is an absolute idiot.
He's weird.
And I'm not going to spend any more time on him. Thank you for letting me talk.
I got married me a woman with a big bladder. What are you laughing at?
Cindy, go ahead. Cindy, hi.
I'm not sure if I want to laugh or cry.
Let me tell you what you cry at. When you see a man and woman been married 47 years and she urinates all over my car, and you think that's funny.
They're funny, but I want to ask you a question, Lloyd.
Well, so ask the question.
There may be a problem with her cell phone. I'm going to put you on hold, Cindy, because you're probably going through a bad cell. Let's go over to Sid. Sid, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sid.
You definitely have a problem. And I really
Yes, I do. My wife needs diapers.
No, I think it's deeper than that. I think you're very, very bitter. Very bitter.
Well,
you
thank
know,
you,
it's
Dr.
Very
Laura.
Bad. It's very bad for the kidneys and the bladder. And any nurse will tell you that.
Are you a doctor?
No, my grandmother was a registered nurse, and she told me that my whole life.
Ooh, registered nurse. Well, get a load of Ben Casey.
Why do you have to be a smartass?
And you're a Korean War veteran.
Get a load of Dr. Kildare, registered nurse.
You don't care about your wife.
Welcome to ER.
You are not thinking about your wife. You don't love your wife.
I love my wife,
and I think your wife...
proud of my wife that she could hold her water from here to New York and never bother a man about, you know, you probably make up for your small bladder by having the ability to eat one of those kielbasa.
Okay, that's it. I can't listen to
it him. Always takes a, your type of personality to
yeah.
be married to a gem of a woman like your wife. She
yeah.
must be a little codependent because nobody else would be able to tolerate you. You
well,
have been married an extremely long amount of time.
You know, Sid, I hung up on him.
Oh.
Because I didn't like what he just said to you. So, but you made a very good point, and we're going to move on.
Okay.
Thank you, Sid.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. The voice of Lloyd was performed by me, and the people that called in thought he was a real guy. And what man among us hasn't at one time or another dealt with that problem? Hey, I need to go. Why don't you pull over? Honey, we're in Watts. So what? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. What is this? What?
Yeah, you're going to butt in.
Oh, come on, David.
I said you're having him in.
I fired that guy 3 weeks ago.
Look, you're on the air right now.
Oh, welcome back, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I'm a dick man.
You want to get on the microphone?
Get him on the mic.
Here, bud.
I'm a dick man. It's time for things at Christmas that sound dirty.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Phil. It's funny.
May I ask this question?
Oh, so you want to embarrass me and Bud while you're on the air, huh?
I want to get into bed. What's he want?
Hey, Bud.
What's he want?
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
I'm not he. I'm Mr. Hendry. You understand that?
Whoa, get you.
What's the matter? You think you're too good for your stink doesn't? Your britches don't stink?
Yeah, that's it, Bud. My britches don't stink. What I'm saying to you is this. I ain't he. I'm Mr. Hendry.
Give him some respect, Bud.
All right.
Introduce him, Phil.
When I fire a guy, he stays fired.
Well, maybe not.
And now here's Bud Dickman.
With the top 10 Christmas...
With the top 10 Christmas phrases that sound dirty but aren't.
All right, buddy. I'm Bud Dickman. Here's a number 10 of the Christmas phrases that sound dirty but is not. Did you get any under the tree? Number 9, I think your balls are hanging too low. Number 8.
Very funny.
That's great.
Number 8, check out Rudolph's honker. Number 7, Santa's sack is really bulging. What's the matter?
Go ahead.
Don't you think it's funny, Phil?
No, I don't, if you're asking me.
But...
Number 6. Lift up the skirt so I can get a clean breath.
I don't even get that.
It's funny.
It's a riot.
Number 5. Did you get a piece of the fruitcake? Mr. Hall, he's making fun of me.
Come on, Phil.
All right.
All right, number 4. I love licking the end till it's really sharp and pointy.
Yeah!
Number 3. From here, you can't tell if they're artificial or real.
Love it! What about it, Phil?
Yeah, it's a riot.
Number 2. Can I interest you in some dark meat? And now, the number 1 phrase, what am dirty but not. To get it to stand up straight, try propping it against the wall. I'm Bud Dickman. That's the 10 things that are dirty at Christmas, but it's not.
Okay, what's wrong with having him in doing that?
Let me tell you what's wrong with him coming and doing that.
What?
What do you want, Bud?
I want to hear if you talking about me.
That's material is pulled off the internet. Do you understand that this stuff ain't even original? It's internet material.
So what? funny. I like it. And I want you to have them in once a week with stuff that ain't dirty but is.
It's stuff that isn't dirty but... It's stuff...
Stuff that is not dirty but isn't.
That's it. Stuff that isn't dirty but isn't. Hello?
Stuff that isn't dirty but isn't.
Yeah.
What's the next holiday? I don't know.
Martin Luther King, is that it? Stuff that's dirty that isn't?
Oh, that'll be great. Why don't I just gag around with that? The next one is, New Year's.
All right, good, bud. Work on New Year's.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
All right, so thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. That internet stuff, I'm telling you, he comes in here every day with his internet jokes. And you got to see what Bud does. He loads my inbox full of jokes. Dear Mr. Henry, here am some material that you can use on your show if you'll hire me back. And it's all these jokes about a man walks into a barber shop with a dog and, you know, the barber pole, something about a barber pole or lipstick, or the dog has an erection. I don't know what. And it's like every day. Did you get any under the tree? Can I interest you in some dark meat? That one's probably number one. That was the one that I actually smiled at. I actually smiled at that one. And check, you know, Santa's sack is really bulging. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to order your Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD, World Famous. You can order it by phone, 877-616-7445, or online at philhenryshow.com. And all of the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, here we go.
I am too sexy for my love.
Okay, 2, 3, 4, my love.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Now I bend over, I grab my ankles. I hold it, I hold it, I hold it. I'm swinging my butthocks back and forth. Now I leap up, now I'm doing jumping jacks. By the way, kill the music, Lance. Kill the music, Lance. I want to let everybody know, these moves are copyrighted so that no one can steal them. Okay? Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. All right, so in other words...
Yeah, these moves are copyrighted.
You copyrighted these dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, 2, 3.
I am too sexy for my love.
Too sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10.
Okay, now I bend over, grab my ankles, and now I'm doing jumping jacks. Jumping jacks. 2, 3, 4. Now I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now I whip out a copy of the Harlequin Romance that women love to read, and now, boom! I got this clench between my butt cheeks. And I'm holding the book between my butt cheeks.
Yeah.
I kind of hold that move for a while. Now here is something that is completely copyrighted, so people won't steal it. Hold, kill the music for a minute, Lance. Kill it. Okay.
Will you come on, man? All right.
What?
I got it. All right. So that you're gonna turn the pages of the book with your ass. Is that it?
I am too sexy.
Okay. Here we go.
My love.
Jeez.
Sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4. Okay. Here we go. All right, now I bend over and I...
Forget bending over. I got all of that and I got the jumping jacks. Get to the part where you put the book between the cheeks of your rear end.
Okay. 2, 3, 4. Now the book is between the buttocks cheeks. And page turn. Page turn. Page turn.
I don't know how you're doing that, man. That's out.
Well, believe me, it takes a lot of... Okay, now I do stretches. I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm holding it. And as simple as that is, it's sexy.
Japan.
Now I'm up on my toes. I'm eating a peach, which is very suggestive, and I let the juice drip down. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like this next move, the hula hoop move. Here I go.
Okay.
Then I have two major grand final moves. Here comes the first one. Now I'm spanking myself with a hairbrush. Now I'm slapping myself with a belt. Okay, here comes the next move. 2, 3, 4. Ow. All right, I just did the splits over an egg and I broke it open. Now I'm attaching bacon strips to my nipples with clothes pegs. And now I'll do a somersault over an open watermelon. Now I pretend, this is a move a lot of women like, I'm pretending I'm a dog
peeing on a fire hydrant, and I don't...
Okay. That's fine. Turn your...
Lance, turn it off. What? What?
I pretend I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
These are all copyrighted moves, okay?
Well, I, you know... The cats are going to steal those.
But you don't let me slap the side of my hips like Tracy Partridge playing the tambourine. So I do this woo, woo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do, a lot of the women out there, oh, here it is. Yeah, a somersault into an open watermelon.
Forget about it, man.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. And now, Phil Hendry.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, sir. I'm calling about what you're talking about, Robert De Niro?
Yeah, he's going down to Tampa to show his movie to enlisted guys down at the base there.
I didn't know if you had seen that in the paper or not, but I think Robert De Niro is going down to Tampa to show our troops his new movie. I don't think there's anybody speaking for the troops about this. And
what do the troops need to say about Robert De Niro going to Tampa to show the movie Analyze That, right?
Yeah, it's the new one with Billy Crystal, yes, sir.
Okay, what is who's not saying what?
I don't think soldiers want to see movie stars lording it over them and with the flashy clothes and the cars and the rings on a finger. I mean, all it does is remind them that their girlfriends and wives are back home, like most probably screwing around on them. You know,
well, what do you mean they don't want movie stars? It's a tradition.
Well, that's the only reason why movie stars go down is to put the message out, you know, we're back home with your girlfriends and wives. If we want, we could take them all to bed. And that's the thing about being a soldier. You can go and fight for your country. But you know, back in America or back at home, is the movie stars and musicians and everybody, all the celebrities, who could take your girlfriend to bed.
Wait a minute. Are you a soldier?
No, sir.
What do you do?
Yes, sir. I study law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College. I'm aspiring to be LAPD.
You're going to be a LAPD, so you're not a soldier.
Whoa. Hold on, Mr. Henry. Before we go forward, let me just say something, okay? We're not really going to get very far with you talking to me like that, okay?
Well, wait a minute. You're not a soldier.
Whoa. Hold on, okay? You know, before we go further, I am studying to be LAPD. Okay?
But you're not in the United States military.
Whoa. Again, we're not going to get anywhere with you talking like that, okay?
Well, let me tell you something. I don't want you to be upset, but you are not in the United States military. Am I right?
Sir?
You're not...
Sir? I'm studying to be LAPD, which is the finest police department in the world. Okay, so I think I know how the United States fighting man feels.
And they're worried about their girlfriends and their wives screwing around on them. I always thought that a soldier would write letters to his wife, write letters to his girlfriend.
Yes, sir, they do. But, I mean, can't you see the connection? And what happens? Our soldiers are out there worrying about their girlfriends and their wives screwing around on them, which is also a pretty good word, because a lot of those women do. And then they're reminded of the fact that their girlfriends could screw around on them by Robert De Niro coming and showing them a movie. See, so
I don't even know what you're talking about, man. So you're saying that Robert De Niro...
I'm saying, Mr. Henry, no soldier in the field, no soldier on a base, no soldier in the service of the United States military wants to see Robert De Niro or the guy that started it. A lot of your listeners may not know, there's the guy that started it was a guy named Bob Hope. Okay, Bob.
Yeah, he did a lot of USO shows in World War II.
Right. And he would go over to World War II, and he would bring all kinds of good-looking stuff up on the stage, all this stuff, you know, like Betty Gables and all of them. And he'd say, yeah, check out what I'm going to shag later on. Hey, have a nice weekend with your hand, man. And all of that to remind the soldiers of their girlfriends and wives screwing around back home. So I think the time has come for me to speak up for the fighting men and women of this country to say, we don't want movie stars coming down and showing us that they're all that, because it only reminds us of our girlfriend getting a clap back in the States, which is wrong.
I don't see how you can say that, man.
Right.
Because you're not a soldier. I understand.
No, sir, whoa. We're not going to get no place with you talking to me like that.
I know that you're not. I know you're studying to be LAPD, right?
Sir, I'm taking law enforcement at LA Canyon College. I'm also getting units in criminal justice with an eye toward becoming LAPD.
So what do you do? You graduate and then you go into the LA Police Academy, right? Is that it?
Yes, sir. And I go to LA Police Academy after I get my four-year degree is what my plan is.
And because of that, you feel like you are speaking for GIs.
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am. And movie stars do it all the time to remind the GIs to protect. See, GIs, all they want to do is fight for the country. They don't need no, you know, like Heather Locklear went over there. And all that does is the guy looks at Heather Locklear and goes, I know, I'm not going to tap that. And then they had Pamela Anderson went over to the troops, too. And the GIs looking up at that says, I ain't going to be tapping that anytime soon. And it's like Heather Locklear's going, hey, check out what I got. Have a nice weekend with your hand. I mean, that is wrong, man, and the troops don't need that. So you would have to be an idiot to think that the wives and girlfriends of soldiers don't screw around while they're overseas, and you don't need to remind them of that.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
Let me. Are you a soldier?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you don't have no opinion on it. I'm studying to be LAPD.
All right, I'll tell you this much. If that's the case, then the guys, they certainly don't need that to be in their minds. But I don't know that movie stars and celebrities visiting the GIs necessarily remind them of all the stuff they don't have. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dave. What's your last name, Dave?
Oliver.
I'm sorry?
Dave Oliver, sir. I go to L.A. Canyon College.
Where do you live?
Yes, sir. I live in the San Fernando Valley. I live in Panorama City.
Well, you believe that the GIs, these USO tours, only remind the GIs that their wives and girlfriends are back home screwing around?
Yes, sir. I mean, there's no other reason for these stars to go over and entertain the troops than to make the troops feel, remind them that their girls and wife friends are getting tapped into by every truck driver, every cab driver, and movie stars too. See, that's the whole thing. You're out there defending America in Afghanistan and Iraq, and meanwhile your girlfriend is getting taxed by Bon Jovi or
what's the likelihood that some guy's girlfriend is being taken out by Bon Jovi?
I don't know, man. I mean, if she goes to the show, a lot of them will do it.
What's the likelihood that some guy's girlfriend is going to be picked up on by Robert De Niro?
Again, Mr. Henry, you don't know. But you got a GI out there worried that Robert De Niro is saying, yeah, why don't you take a look at my movie, man? And while you're on the subject, man, go over and fight a war to protect my ass because I'm a movie star. No. No, sir.
All right, I wanted to ask you a couple things here, Dave, about, you said something about Bob Hope would parade all that stuff up on stage to torment the men, to torment these guys in Europe?
Yes, sir, he did.
So you're telling me that Bob Hope, the guy that started the USO, brought Betty Grable, and who were some of those other chicks?
Well, I don't know, man. Betty Gables and Heather Locklear, man. She went over to Iraq, right?
Yeah.
She's married to Richie Zamboni, and Pamela Anderson's married to Kid Rock.
What do you mean she's married to Richie Zamboni? She's married to who? What's the kid's name? Sambora?
Zamboni? I don't know, man, but I mean, the fact is, with all due respect to Mr. Bob Look, it's his fault that these wives and girlfriends decided to screw around. Because he's up there going, hey, how do you like me now? How do you like me now? Hey, how do you...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Bob Hope went to Europe to get shot at by Germans and...
Oh, he's not getting shot at by Germans, man. He's in the back.
Bob Hope went all the way to Europe so he could stand up there and say, you guys better win this war. I'm back home screwing your girlfriend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show here. It's a little difficult taking you seriously, you not being a soldier.
Okay, I got one for you, Mr. Henry. Are you a soldier?
No, I'm not a soldier, but...
Okay, so I don't think that you can say...
Well, you're not either.
I'm studying to be a police officer, which is way more of a soldier than being a talk show radio host on the radio program, okay?
Here's a phone call from Chuck. Are you a GI, Chuck?
No, I'm not. What is this jerk?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show. This is Dave Oliva. Go ahead.
This guy is a jerk. He's going to be gone from his wife maybe 8-hour shift. He must come from a morally bankrupt background. I've got a lot of friends that are GIs. They're not worried about their wives or their girlfriends screwing around on them. They've got solid relationships. You know, this happens to maybe a few, but the vast majority of them aren't God compass. Guys that like this guy, he's going to be a cop. He knows more about it than you do. He's going to be a cop. He's going to have a God complex. He's going to be out there 8 hours a day writing speeding tickets. These guys don't join the force or join the army to be God. They join the force to defend their country or to go to college or whatever. They're not worried about their girlfriends and wives screwing around on them.
How come Bob Look goes over there and says, how do you like me now, man? You know,
that's not why he did it.
Yeah, it is, man. Yes, it is. He's trying to get over all the GIs.
He went over there to take entertainment to them.
Oh,
it had nothing to do with providing sex or whatever you're trying to lead up to. That's bull.
No, what I'm saying is this. Bob Hope is, like, showing all this stuff on stage, going, yeah, look at what I'm going to be taxing Betty Gable later on. And you don't get none of that, man. And
they could watch it in the movies, too.
And on top of that, man, you know, he said, look at that. Bob Hope's back in America. He might be shagging my wife, too.
Not if she's a true wife, if she's honest and faithful. My wife wouldn't do that.
Okay.
And other people I know that were in the Army, their wives or spouses would do that.
Man, be honest about it, okay? If you're
You're in L.A., and I don't know what it is in L.A., but you must have a sick background because nobody I know would do that.
Wait a minute, man. If your wife was hit on by Richie Zamboni, she wouldn't go out with him?
No, she would not.
Oh, come on, man.
She's married to
the... I don't know where you come from, but my wife and I have been married 21 years, and we wouldn't cheat on each other.
Okay, I'm not saying maybe she'd cheat, but you don't think she'd be interested in talking to Richie Zamboni?
Oh, well,
Zamboni?
Now, you're changing your story. You're saying tapping into it, now you're saying talking to. Sure, she's going to talk to somebody, but tapping into and talking, not the same thing.
Okay, but.
Yeah, the guy's, he's got you backed into it now.
No, wait a second.
No,
listen, man. You wouldn't be over there worried about your wife being tapped into by Bob Hope.
No.
Well, man, okay, you're a better man than I am.
He's 100 years old. I'm not worried about my wife tapping into anybody. She's faithful. And if you have a monogamous relationship, that's what you're going to have. Now, if you come from the TV screen where all these guys are having sex with 40 women a day, yeah, you got to worry about it. But if you're married to a woman or you're engaged to a woman, trust is what's in a marriage. You're not married, I can tell.
Yeah, but Chuck, wait a second. No,
are you married?
No, sir, I'm 20 years old.
Are you married?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm 20 years old.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I'm living with my girlfriend and our daughter.
But you're not married.
No, sir.
No, sir. And when you're married, you have a commitment. When you say, I do, that means you do. And it also means you don't.
Well, wait a second.
You are monogamous. You have promised that person.
You know that.
If you have not made that commitment yet, then you don't know what you're talking about. You can't respond
to anybody
else's comments because you don't know. You've never been there.
Well, wait a second.
That's like you're trying to tell him that he ain't a soldier, so he can't talk. You got no business talking. You're going to be a cop. You're 20 years old. What the hell do you know about life yet?
All celebrities are anti-war. They prance around the enlisted men to try to convince them not to fight good.
What?
You want to laugh about it, man, but you know that celebrities are anti-war and they want them not to fight good.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah,
you may know that.
No, you know that's true, man.
No, I don't know that's true. I know that's what you're telling me, but I guarantee you that
what about
not all celebrities are not anti-war.
Well, what about Barbara Streisand and Johnny Depp? All them.
Okay, that's two. Who else?
Okay.
Well, I'm still waiting for Barbara Streisand to leave the country.
Whatever, man. She'll go over to Iraq. She'll convince them not to fight good.
Oh, come on, man. These are professional soldiers. They know what their job is. Barbara Streisand has no desire to go anywhere near those soldiers, and they probably have no desire for her to go anywhere near them. And to think that they're sitting over there believing that their girlfriends and wives are going to be screwing around on them with Bob Hope, he's 800 million years old.
Well, even if it's not somebody, it's not the point. Even if it's a 25-year-old, I don't know, like a, I don't know who the popular guys are today. If you've got a marriage and you're committed to your marriage, it doesn't matter who it is.
Okay, I'll tell you a popular guy right now, man. One of the most popular guys right now is John Bon Jovi, man. You tell me your wife wouldn't want it. And the celebrity says to the enlisted, go home now.
Wait a minute. Now, see, you're going off on 14 different directions. You're saying
I got to take a break. Chuck, sure, thank you. You made some good points, Chuck. I got a break. 1-800-449-8686.
No, but Mr. Henry, the point I'm trying to make is the celebrity says to the enlisted man, look, buddy, either you fight good for me or I'm going to boink your girlfriend in the tailpipe. And you will have no way to do nothing about it because you will be in Afghanistan and I'm going to be over here, man. And that's the whole point. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Boink your girlfriend in the tailpipe, huh?
Yes, sir. I hate to be crude, sir, but yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dave Oliva. He is a Los Angeles Police Department. He's not even with the LAPD. He's studying to be a police officer. He believes that the whole idea of celebrities, movie stars, etc., entertaining GIs is to remind them that they're back in the States and they could have sex with their wives and girlfriends and there's nothing they could do about it. Robert De Niro was in the news this week. He's going to Tampa to show his new film, Analyze That, to some of our troops. And Mr. Olive is calling in saying that the only reason De Niro's really doing that is so he can flash it around and show the enlisted guys what a big shot he is and how he could be boinking their girlfriends. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Dave Oliver is with me. Dave, you are a prospective. Where are you right now? Because I can hear a television. And
yes, sir. I'm in the student comment right now. I'm having some dinner. I'll have a tuna fish sandwich. Actually, a tuna melt and a carton of milk. And now I'm going to go back to my class. I'm taking a photography class because I'd like to become a photojournalist too, in my spare time.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to go back to our phones. But you believe that the soldiers, the GIs, don't want to see celebrities. They don't want movie stars. They don't want Robert De Niro showing them his new movie because it just reminds them that these movie stars can go back to the States and have sex with their wives.
Yeah, I mean, when you see these pictures of women hugging these soldiers goodbye before they go off to war, these women are really thinking, you know, he's good. He's out of there for 6 months. Maybe now I can have sex with the movie stars that I've dreamed about.
What are you talking about, man? You're not even married.
No, I'm not married, man, but I'm living with my girlfriend, okay? Hey, Mr. Henry, before we go any further, okay, we got to get something straight. I mean, you have to have respect for me and speak to me like a man. Well, I'm speaking to you like a man.
I'm speaking to you like a man. I'm disagreeing with you. That's speaking to you like a man.
But I think you have to show me respect.
I'm showing you respect, man. Respect is not always agreeing with somebody. 1-800-449-8686. Gene, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. I am a retired GI, and I was in Vietnam with the Bob Hope shows, the USO shows, and it took a lot of despair out of these guys that were getting kind of sad, and they longed for home, and it gave them a boost. There'd be a lot of crazy people out there if it wasn't for the USO shows.
You didn't think Bob Hope wanted to shag your wife or anything?
Absolutely not. I am married, and I was a GI, and I'm retired now. And I tell you what, we were out there in the field, and when those shows came out there, it made people cry. Man, they wanted to come back home and they knew they had a reason
that's
to be
exactly
out there, and they
saying.
Had a reason to come back home.
That's what I'm
you
saying.
You don't know nothing.
That's exactly
and I'll give you 10
saying.
To 1 odds that you'll never be in the police department because you ain't got the, you're not a man enough to do it.
Hey, that's exactly what I'm saying, man. You were crying because you knew your girlfriend is back here shagging Robert Wagner or somebody.
No, you're only saying that because your little girlfriend is out there shagging everybody. That's why you're not married. That's why you're not married and living with her like the skunk that you are. You're
before,
living with her
before we go
and,
further,
and with your son or your daughter that you've got with her because she's out there shagging around with everybody.
Before
that's
we go any
not
further,
your daughter either.
Before
you're
we go
nothing,
any further,
man. You're
before
a,
we go
you're
any
a,
further, you have to speak to
nothing.
Me. You have to speak to me with respect.
Okay. I don't need to speak for you. No, okay. You don't got no respect.
Before
you haven't got
go
any respect
further.
For anybody. You haven't got respect for yourself, or you wouldn't be bringing that stuff up.
Hey.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Did it give you a boost when Bob Hope pointed at Brooke Shields' ass and said, hey, boys, you ain't getting none
you
of this?
You don't know nothing.
Wait, first of all, Brooke Shields wouldn't have been in Vietnam. She would have been like 3.
Yeah, he probably would have loved it if Bob Hope pointed at her 3-year-old butt.
All right, now that's
if,
not...
If Brooke Shields make you look at your hand, that's because you're looking at your hand too much, buddy.
Hey, man. Bob Hope says I'm getting some of this sweet Anne Margaret's poontang, and you. Good luck with your hand.
You don't have much respect for. You don't have any respect for your. You don't have any respect for
hey,
the
you
girl
know what,
that you're
man?
Living with.
You know what, man?
You're probably paying the bills.
Hey, man.
You don't have any respect for your kids.
At least I got a girlfriend.
With the girl that you're living
at least
with,
I got a
you're
girlfriend.
Not married.
Because your girlfriend
you don't
was
know
a sock.
Nothing.
Your girlfriend was a sock for 3 years, man. So
all right, this is ridiculous. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Dave Oliva, who believes that celebrities, USO shows, all of that stuff simply reminds GIs that their girlfriends and wives are back home screwing around on them with movie stars. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henderson. Dave Oliva with me. Dave is an aspiring police officer. He is speaking out on an article he read in the USA Today that Robert De Niro wants to screen his new film, Analyze That, to 1,500 troops at Medill Air Force Base. And he says that movie stars, USO shows, and the like only frustrate GIs and make them believe that those movie stars are simply going to go back to the States and screw their wives and girlfriends. Dave, what then do the GIs want?
Mr. Henry, what our GIs, all of our guys overseas, all of the guys who are what on Air Force bases or wherever want, they want to be able to relax. And the things that our guys need more than USO shows, they need magazines, National Geographic computer books. What our guys need, they need how-to books. You'd be doing our guys a big favor, the people listening to your program, if you could send over some like model kits, models of ships and jets that look like the ones that they're going to drive so they can put the models together and figure out better what they're going to be driving and the jets too. Also send over diary books because a lot of them want to write diaries, the kinds that you lock so no one can look into them. See, it only insults a GI when these USO shows come over with Heather Locklear or Pamela Anderson. The GIs are never going to have them. They won't let the GIs have them. They go home and have sex with Kid Rock and Richie Zamboni, and they're not never going to have none of that.
So the GIs want model kits and National Geo.
Yeah, a lot of magazine. Also, seminars. If they love to attend seminars on wildlife, sea life. They're one of the big things that I understand went over huge in Vietnam were seminars on turtles and sea turtles and that kind of thing.
All right, 1-800-4... So they didn't like the USO shows?
No, they didn't, man. They didn't want Bob Hope. They're imagining Bob Hope at home shagging their own lady.
1-800-449-8686. Here is... this is Russ. Go ahead, Russ. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva. Here is Stan on the Phil Henry Show. Stan?
You know, people like him, we need on the LAPD. We need more morons with guns.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about you. You're a fool.
I'm a fool?
I mean, Jesus Christ, man. I was in the service. I'm an ex-serviceman.
I'm a truck driver now. I'm one of these guys you say that's out here screwing around with people's wives. And
no, I said
you know,
the movie stars.
You're
no,
narrow-minded.
I didn't say that. I said movie stars are screwing people's wives.
Oh, you said something about truck drivers out there messing around with people's wives while ago, too. I've been listening to you.
No, no.
You're
you
just another. You're,
hey,
see,
back up,
you're
man.
Narrow-minded. You're
you
a
need
fool,
to back up. You need to back up. We're not going to get
you need. You need to get a life before you start trying to run other people's and figure out what other people want, what
so
they don't
you said,
want.
You said you was a GI, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been out of the service
when
for
you were a GI,
30 years.
Didn't you want to, like, build model airplanes and stuff?
Hell no. I liked the shows overseas. They weren't too bad. I liked the relaxation. I didn't worry about people screwing around with my old lady, and if they did it, she wasn't worth having anyway.
What about books on origami and stuff like that? They say GIs want that.
Books on origami.
Some people do.
Okay.
But not the majority.
The majority, it says, what I read, the majority want to attend seminars on sea turtles and build models of tanks.
Now, maybe the 18-year-olds do. I'm not sure.
I heard the majority
but I
do.
I think maybe
books on origami and sea turtle seminars.
Yes, sir. Look, buddy,
I think for the most part, you're getting a limited view. And in the first place, you don't need to tell the man on the radio there that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because I hadn't heard him talk bad to you. But you're talking off the top of your head. You got no outlook of anybody else's. You're just stating your opinion, and you sound like a moron.
Wait a second. Did you keep a diary when you was in the service?
No, I didn't.
What about them little diary books you can lock and stuff?
The what?
The diary books that you can buy. That
there's diary books that have locks on them. Are you saying that this GIs want those?
Yes, sir. Didn't you want that?
If I wanted to keep a memorandum of what I did, then I just wrote it down in a regular book. I didn't write a diary.
You didn't need to lock it
that's,
up so
that's,
no one would
you know,
see it?
You know, if you think about it, that's mostly what women do.
Well, okay, but I can tell you, this is from the United States Department of Defense. The number one book requested by Navy men is a book called How to Juggle, and they want that for relaxation.
Well, how to juggle.
That's possible.
I wasn't in the Navy,
and
oh, okay.
I can't state what
maybe
the Navy wanted. I was in the Marine Corps.
You were in
myself.
The Marine Corps. Okay.
Didn't the Marines like to build model airplanes?
No, I like to put together guns myself.
Well, that's what Marines do. And what do you mean how to juggle?
That was the Navy, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan.
All right, you take care.
You take care. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Joe. Joe, go ahead.
What kind of baboon are you?
Hey, man, I'm going to be LAPD. What are you?
I'm ex-Army. That's what I am. I was over in Kuwait.
Okay.
Have you seen Richie Zamboni, man?
If you went to see Heather Locklear, she's going home to Richie Zamboni.
Are you LAPD? You're nothing right
now.
You're in school.
Right
now. Until you see one of your buddies get shot or something, and you have to deal with that, and then you sit there and you have somebody that everybody knows comes to see you and your unit and everything else, then talk.
See,
don't say anything.
What, did you see Heather Locklear?
Yes, I did, a matter of fact.
Where?
And I enjoyed it.
Where?
She came to Kuwait.
Okay. Didn't it remind you of your old lady screwing around back home?
No, it didn't.
Well,
I'm not worried. You know,
I don't think you're being honest, man.
The thing is, I trust my wife.
Well, I don't think you're being honest, man. What branch of the service were you in?
I was in the Army.
Okay, the number one requested book for the Army was Houdini's Magic Tricks.
Can I tell you something?
What?
If you want to talk about it, go join the Army or Marines or Navy or whatever, and go through boot camp, and go overseas, and then you'll see. You're in school. That's all you know.
That's right. You're in school, and...
You didn't hatch sea monkeys in your bunk, did you?
Do what?
You know sea monkeys?
Hey, yeah.
I'm with you.
You know what? I was more worried about...
I feel bad that you don't realize
your wife was out in a skirt the day you left.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what, buddy? I was more worried about my unit and keeping my men alive and keeping our unit going so we could come home. Yeah, but that's what I was more worried about. I wouldn't try to read a book.
But the good thing about Kuwait was most of the fighting was done by the Air Force. By the time you guys come in, you just walk to Baghdad.
Oh, is that what you think?
Well, yeah.
Why don't you go over there?
Oh, man.
There's a road in Kuwait. You drive down it, and you'll see nothing but burned-up vehicles.
Was that
we shot up. You go look.
Was that you?
No, that wasn't him. Those were Iraqis they shot up. All right, look at Joe. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it, man.
1-800-449-8686. So, Dave, good luck convincing GIs that they don't want to see Heather Locklear. They'd rather play with models and read books called How to Juggle.
Okay.
1-800-449-8686. So the USO really ought to just disband, man. What the guys really want to do is sit around and listen to seminars on sea turtles. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
This is the best part, man. Look at this. This is the best part.
All right, we're back.
I'm sorry.
All right, we're back, Dave. 1-800-449-8686. You watching TV?
Yeah, hold on. This is so cool, man. It's a Gilligan's Island marathon.
Okay, well, I got to talk to you about your premise that GIs don't want USO shows because those actors are up there taunting them about how they can screw their wives back home. Now, you are mentioning something to me about backward masking. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to a phone call here. George, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dave Oliva.
Hey, partner, you say you got to be a police officer if you're attending an academy now.
No, I'm not in academy right now, sir, but I'm in JC taking criminal justice and law enforcement, and then I'm going to go to LAPD Academy.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're wasting your time because you couldn't pass the psychological profile to be a police officer.
What are you talking about?
You can tell your eggs are scrambled.
What's that supposed to mean?
Man, you got to hold some bad drugs. That's what's happened to you.
Hey, let me tell you something. You're pretty colorful, man. You know that?
I ought to be. And I'll tell you one thing.
Hey.
Having been in the Army, having been overseas and done it.
Do you like Gilligan's Island?
Ain't nobody going to say, no soldier's going to say that he didn't appreciate the USO and the show.
George, will you turn?
And nobody
I've got to ask
ever
this. Turn your TV down.
Bob Hope, none of them ever said anything about anybody's wife back home.
Bob,
you're blowing smoke, dude. You don't know what you're talking about.
What's Bob Hope?
You're going to be a police officer in L.A., I pity those people there.
Wait a second. Bob Hope is up on stage going, take a look at some of this sweet stuff, man. I can tap Betty Gable and your old lady, too. Now, why
you couldn't tap the damn beer barrel?
No, hey, man, Bob Hope is saying
you
that, not me.
You couldn't tap a beer barrel. Bob Hope never said it, and you know it, and I know it. You're just blowing smoke.
Hey, do you like Gilligan's Island?
You like to hear yourself talk. That's what you
do. No, sir, I don't. I'm trying to teach Mr. Henry. Listen to this.
All right, what's this backward masking?
Backward masking is something we have to study in criminal justice as part of youth gang work. It's music that kids listen to that's got backward masking. Now, a lot of today's rock artists have subliminal messages that are sent out to the GIs telling them that, hey, I'm going to tap your old lady.
Come on, you got to be
kidding me.
No, I have an example of it.
Them GIs ain't listening to your trash.
Wait a second. Listen to this song.
Oh,
this is a song
no,
by
listen
Santana.
You listen to it. That's what your problem is. You listen to too much of it.
Wait a minute. You're saying this has it?
In this song, when the singing starts, there's backward masking. Let me, if we could, okay, right there. He's singing about how I'm going to tap your old lady's tailpipe.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Why don't you get with the real world?
See? That's backward masking, sir, and that's something we have to be aware of in the gang division.
Well, there's a way to deal with gangs, just like the law dealt with us back when I was in the gangs in the 50s.
Hey,
they make you don't want to be in a gang.
But he's talking about tapping into some guy's old lady's tailpipe. Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
You get out of here with that Santana.
If you asked those people, went over there and said that.
What?
You said that, didn't you?
I did what?
You said that you people say that stuff. They never got on stage overseas and said like that.
You smoking what?
Yeah, you smoking it,
man. You can't hear it because you're not
there. Your eggs are scrambled.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you, having been a police officer.
No, man. I tell you right now.
Yeah, I know your eggs are scrambled.
Carlos Santana is saying that he wants to spank your old lady's exhaust pipe in this song.
Thank you very much.
What?
I said thank you very much.
I can't hear you.
Thank you very much.
Nobody loves her either. Let's get something interesting going on the show.
Phil Henry Show. This would be such a good time for a break, but unfortunately, I'm going to spank your old lady's tailpipe.
Right here, man. There it is. Your tailpipe.
Get out of here, you freak. There you have it. Another Christmas classic on The Phil Henry Show. We'd like you to visit The Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. That's PHILHENDRIE show.com for a backstage pass, our souvenir shop, and our Best of The Phil Henry Show 2002 CD, World Famous.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is Commandant Wireman. This is Cadet R.C. Collins.
How are you, Cadet?
Fine, sir.
What can I do for you, Mr. Henry?
We have a caller on the line, Joan. You wanted to express some complaints, correct, Joan?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Have you been listening to this program?
I have not, unfortunately. We are preparing for the Commandant's Ball.
Excuse me. I think you need to request a copy, a tape of your young man's interview. His analogy of the women in America as cattle, filet mignon, sirloin steak, flank steak, and breaking them off in categories.
Yes, ma'am.
And his language, his English grammar is so appalling that I wonder what Bradley's doing.
What language has he?
Now listen to you.
Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You do not use language unbefitting a cadet of the Bradley Military Academy to one of the women of our nation. That's number one. And you have compared women to meat. That's number two. You will kiss the gunner's daughter.
Oh, no, sir, please.
Yes, you will kiss.
What's kiss the gunner's daughter?
He'll be laid over a cannon. And he will be, we use the old Naval Academy flogging. And he will be beaten.
Sir, I don't think...
Yeah, see what you did, Joan? Thanks a lot.
No, Joan, you didn't do anything wrong. You'll kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below, Mr. Henry, for the makings. Now then...
What do you mean, take him below? I'm doing a...
Oh, I'm sorry. Joan?
Yes?
Joan, yes, this is Commandant Wireman. God bless you and the great service you've done to our nation.
He's been doing it to the entire American population, men and women.
Oh, please, I don't want to kiss the gunner's daughter.
You'll kiss the gunner's daughter.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
Well, the gunner is a nickname for my rear end, and his backside will bleed tonight. I can attract. Joan, are you there?
I'm here. I'm not
Mr.
requesting
Wireman,
anything like that, but I think you need to know that.
I'm going
to
beat him until the skin's flayed off of his buttocker area.
I don't know that that's a legal thing to do.
No, ma'am. We must. It is legal when the parents turn their children over to us at Bradley. We're a private military installation.
So he's been bragging about his father's being very rich.
Well, I know his father is very wealthy.
And
he's a member.
There that are his friend, his homemates have been pulled up by their bootstraps. And he's making Bradley a laughingstock where...
How dare you?
I wouldn't want my grandson to go there.
Why, you little B-A-S-T-A-R. How do you spell it?
D.
That's right. I can assure you, Joan, he'll be in intensive care by the end of this evening.
Well, I'm not asking for that, but I do think
we need to be aware of this program
and listen to.
I'd like to offer you, Joan, if you'll give us your address, a photograph of the skin flayed from his rear end.
I don't want that. I don't want that, but I do want...
You do not want that.
No,
thank you, Joan. Thank you.
No, yeah, Commandant Warman, we don't need that, okay?
I would like, and then I would like to kick him in the face and make blood come from his eyes.
Now
please!
Now you wonder more about the academy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is to hug the young girls, hug the older women a little longer, and then take the young girls, he said, to a champagne dinner, and
yes.
then a reception at your home.
Yes. Well, yes, we have...
Filet mignon.
We have the Commandant's Ball, and then I host one of the young virginal debutantes for a nightcap in my quarters.
That's what he said.
Good God.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know how appropriate that is.
Joan, have you
I've wondered about that, but I'm not going to...
Joan, have you ever seen the Commandant's Balls? I mean, the Commandant Ball...
Okay. Joan, thanks very much.
Well, wait a minute. I was just getting to know her. Right? But
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8...